because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's look at this week in the Capitol. J.R., you picked the right week to be on vacation last week. Not much happened. And then the whole earth opened and a flood of developments this week.
They were waiting for me, let's be honest.
They were waiting for you. Okay, well, I hope you had a good vacation because, man, we're both going to be putting in some hours this week.
Yes.
Well, okay, let's recap. Monday, Speaker Voss holds two press conferences. Yes. Here's our compromise on prevailing wage. That was at 11 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock, here's the details on the Bucks Arena. And then he also says in the course of that, boy, we really think the Senate, the deadlocked GOP Senate caucus could give us an answer by this Friday.
Wait for the Senate. You just get his act together, I think was his quote, roughly.
Yeah, the Assembly's not going to wait. Now, you and I both checked with Bob Lang. It's never happened in Wisconsin that a house has passed its own budget, at least going back to 1931.
I went back and looked. LRB has this wonderful handy guide of every budget going back to 1931, which when we went to biennial budgets. Before that was annual budgets. Can you imagine?
No.
So since 1931, they've always passed out of joint finance. But there are standing Assembly and Senate finance committees. You could have done it. But that would have been unusual. And it kind of gets to like the pressure, if you will, going back and forth, because the Assembly, it has a 63-36 margin. They have votes to lose. Fitz in the Senate does not. Wow. He's already lost one or two for sure. He can't lose anymore, and he's got this very difficult position. Well, he always talks about like squeezing a balloon. You put pressure here, something pops over here.
You bet.
And so he's got this difficult spot of trying to find 17 votes for anything.
Yeah.
Where Fitz is going, hey, or Voss, we can roll on this. We can roll on this. Let's go.
Yep.
So here's the other thing too. The agreement we were all told about, was that Tuesday night? There's an agreement on the budget. It's not an agreement on the budget. It's an agreement to get past joint finance.
Yes.
We still have to go to the Senate and find 17 votes, and I'm not sure they have them because Fitz said that yesterday, I don't have 17 right now.
And that's true. And Fitz also said he referred to the joint finance budget as a product.
Yes.
Which means
we're going to change it.
Yes, we could change it. Okay, but let's talk about what they announced yesterday. Let's put up the list. Under what they said, Joint Finance Committee will finish its work today. Now we have to
Early tomorrow morning.
Or early tomorrow morning. Now we have to tape this now because we're going to be watching Joint Finance, and tomorrow's a holiday. But here, the things we don't know is what's going to be in the final roundup motion, the special interest stuff.
999.
The stuff that has to be added because, quite frankly, somebody wants it, and they're closer to voting for the budget if it's in there.
And they can't get it passed as a standalone bill, so you put in the budget because it has to pass.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so Joint Finance Committee will finish its work today or tonight, as you say. The Assembly then will take up the budget next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'd bet on Wednesday.
I would bet Wednesday as well.
Okay. On the same day, the Assembly is going to take up prevailing wage to repeal Speaker Voss. We're going to take up a vote outright repeal, and then we're going to go and I think they have dumped the compromise that they announced on Monday because Speaker Voss said, we are going to look at the Frank Lissay compromise.
Well, what they're going to do is they'll bring up the prevailing wage repeal. Now, this bill passed the Assembly Committee, remember, full repeal. They'll bring that up to the floor. Then they'll vote on the amendment, which will reflect the Lissay language.
Yes.
What that is repealing the local projects, keeping the state prevailing wage, but federalizing it, which basically means we don't have to administer it anymore.
Yep.
It's all according to what the feds say, and that's it. So it's a much simpler process in their minds. Now, Voss keeps saying we have the votes to pass this, okay? In the Senate, though, even though it's a Senate product from a member of the Senate, I don't know they have 17 votes for the Lissay package as we sit here today.
Okay, but Strobel said he could buy Senator Lissay's compromise.
Yes.
Which is a big deal.
Yes, it repeals for locals. Now, you look at the 19. Nass, we all assume, is going to be a no for a number of reasons. He's talked about prevailing wage. He's talked about UW. There's no tuition cap beyond this biennium. Mm-hmm. He's got a list of issues. So Nass, I don't know if people count it as a possible yes.
Yeah.
Strobel has said, if you do enough on prevailing wage, I could be a yes.
Yes.
All right, so that gives you a pool of 18 to start from.
Yeah.
But will prevailing wage be in the budget? Are they going to add it to it? Will they do it as a separate bill?
Separate.
Oh, if it's a separate bill, I don't know how it gets done, though,
Senate. I think it's a separate bill. I agree with you. This is unresolved. It's one of these many swirling issues. But I think you got to take prevailing wage as a separate bill based on what the leader said yesterday.
Yes. But here gets to be the rub. If you take it out, and it's out now, and keep it out, how do you get it done? And if you don't get it done, how do you get Strobel to a yes on the budget? So there are things like that. There's this, I get the impression talking to people that Fitzgerald's going to have to do some, if you will, massaging of his caucus.
Yes.
So let's say Assembly goes on Wednesday and passes it out. And I think it's going to be Wednesday because they'll finish up tonight, early tomorrow morning. They've got a, LFB has to draft this thing with LRB. It's going to take a couple of days.
Briefings.
So let's say Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree.
They did finish it up. The Senate probably won't go until they have 17 votes.
Right.
When are they going to have 17 votes?
Well,
that becomes the issue.
Meanwhile, let's go back to our list, what they announced yesterday. Hmm? I find it so intriguing. Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said, we're going to take up the Bucks bill first.
Yes.
And Voss is saying, because we can pass it on our, in our House, and it's a, I think the biggest question next week is whether that Bucks package passes the Senate.
And today they're supposed to have a meeting with the four leaders from all four caucuses, plus the governor,
right,
to talk about this, because Fitz said yesterday, I need Democratic votes.
Which I find so intriguing, because now they're saying, you know what that says, governor, you want this Bucks arena, you have got to deliver some votes here. You've got to lobby hard, mm-hmm, harder than you have been lobbying. And now, it kind of puts a burden on the governor if the Bucks don't pass in the next 10 days.
Well,
it,
you know, the governor kind of put him in this box back in February when he announced it in the first place. This is kind of his baby in some ways, you
yes,
know.
Yes, it is.
Here's the other thing. Fitzgerald met with several members of the delegation, the Milwaukee Democratic delegation. Was that last week, I think it was? Said it was a productive meeting. Tim Carpenter, who, by the way, I think is running for city council, right?
I didn't know. He ran for city treasurer, didn't make it. Is he running for?
I think he's one of the members, if I remember correctly.
He just broke news. Okay.
No, he announced that. That was like in the Milwaukee papers. But anyway, he put out something yesterday. I didn't read it quickly, but saying that he doesn't like the Bucks deal. So how does that play, you know, with Tim Carpenter? Is he going to vote no on that Bucks? If he's not a yes vote, it's harder math.
Well, okay, but you got Harris Dodd, Lena Taylor, and Chris Larson.
There's three.
They have met, and I don't think you get, Vineout told me no. Bewley, no?
Look at this way. If you are in the Milwaukee area, you have a reason to vote yes.
Yes,
right?
You do.
Take away the R or D behind your name. If you're in Eau Claire, why would you vote for a Bucks budget? Bucks Arena, what does it do for you? If you're in Ashland or Spring Green or La Crosse, what does it do for you?
Unless some provision in the budget, maybe the final roundup amendment, takes care of something that you really, really wanted.
Entirely
there's some
possible.
Linkage there.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you take 5 minutes to explain that we, you know, we're better off with the Bucks because of A, B, and C, you could have that conversation and make it make sense to voters. But it's much quicker to 30-second ad saying you voted for $250 million for a Bucks arena,
yeah,
same time you cut UW-250,
yeah,
and kept schools essentially kind of, you know, treading water.
Okay.
That's a hard argument to make if you're a vulnerable lawmaker in a swing district.
Before we talk about transportation, let's come back to this. Is it possible that if the Assembly passes the budget and prevailing wage on Wednesday, the Senate could take it up on Friday?
I don't know that they would have enough time to get the 17. Now, if the minute Fitz has 17 votes, I think they'll go to the floor.
He's going to lock and load. He's
yes.
going to go to the floor.
But can they get him by next week? I don't know, especially this prevailing wage issue hanging out there. Like, how do they massage that to get to 17 votes on that?
Yeah.
There are a lot of moving pieces, if you will, on that. And then with the Bucks thing again, Republicans have a very good point of, look, this is going to benefit a city that's dominated by Democrats. This is their team, their arena. They should provide some support. Absolutely good point. Democrats also have a good point of, you guys run the show. Yeah. You're the majority party. This is your bill, your deal. We weren't part of it. It's your job to deliver the votes when you're in charge.
Okay, I mean, we'll come back to the Bucks. Now let's talk about transportation.
Okay.
I find it so interesting. First of all, Governor Walker in February says, let's borrow $1.3 billion with a B, which is off the charts in terms of the GOP legis, rank and file. So they're saying, no, let's dial that back 61% to $500 million. But now this interesting caveat yesterday. Okay, our budget bill is going to approve $500 million in bonding. But then we're going to have this other provision. There's this additional $350 million in bonding, which could be authorized if we like what the Wisconsin Department of Transportation recommends. And this is making sure that one part of the state, e.g. the Zoo Freeway, doesn't continue at the expense of project delays throughout the rest of the state.
Because they keep the core, there's the actual interchange itself.
That's the east-west that you and I drive repeatedly.
Yes. It would put off, if they pass it, the north leg, which is going north and then adding those interchanges or back in.
Yep.
That's where the delay would be. They think they can live with that, if you will. For outstate lawmakers at 350, that becomes kind of your cushion, if you will.
Yep.
of, all right, yes, it's held back, but I bet you money, if I need my project needs to get done, they're going to approve that money.
Well, here's what intrigues me about the 350. None of those 16 members of joint finance is, excuse me, a physical engineer, mm-hmm. and knows things like traffic counts and whether a road is breaking down, but they're all political engineers. So doesn't this amount, I see this as so fascinating. The additional 350 has to pass Wisconsin Department of Transportation recommended, and then the politicians have to sign off on which projects are financed by this additional 350.
You're not suggesting politics ever plays a role in what road projects get done, are you?
No, I am suggesting that this is a new level of political oversight over road projects, which have always been overseen.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty blatant move, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but if you're an out-state lawmaker, you're looking at this going, okay, yeah, they need their zoo, but what about me? You know, because, again, look long term. The zoo is not the end of Southeast Wisconsin mega projects.
No.
You have 94 Northwest, North South still isn't done.
You got expanded from Miller Park
east
to
West is
to
on
the
docket.
Zoo.
Oh, and by the way, some want 894 redone. I mean, you're talking billion-dollar projects one after another for 20 years possibly. So where's the light in the tunnel if you were an outstate lawmaker? Which is why Voss talked about yesterday. We're putting money in the budget for a study on other transportation revenue sources. Well, I'm pretty sure they know what sources they could use.
Yes.
It's so do you need one more study to figure that out?
Stop right there. One more study. You had this Blue Ribbon Task Force mm-hmm. that got shelved. Then you had the Secretary of Transportation, Mark Gottlieb, offer a pretty good buffet table. And the politicians walked away from that, starting with the governor, said, I'd rather borrow $1.3 billion.
Well, when you're talking about new taxes on car sales, on miles, I mean, you know, it's not the politically most popular, if you will, package that Gottlieb put together.
But the gas tax hasn't been raised mm-hmm. in 2006, mm-hmm. and the registration fee, $75 check we write, hasn't been raised since 2008.
And here's a question, by the way. Whatever that study says 2 years from now, if Governor Walker is still Governor Walker, is he any more likely to approve a gas tax hike or a fee increase in 2 years? No, I don't think so. So then you have to look at, can you find general purpose revenues? Will they pump up enough that you could divert some to transportation, help ease the problem in 2 years? I don't see a dynamic 2 years from now unless Governor Walker is gone, which is a pathway to a gas tax increase right now.
And Speaker Voss came back again, as he often does, saying tolling is a possible source of money. Well, you've got to change federal law, or you can only toll on new lanes. It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the bottom line on transportation before we turn the corner to other issues, I think this deal sticks, right?
It looks like it, yeah. I mean, they have at least get through finance, yes.
Okay. Now, let's talk about why did they drop the bucks and why did they take prevailing wage out? And I'm going to go first, just so they could get a budget on mm-hmm. Walker's desk, right?
Just to get out of finance, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing. If you think about it, finance has not met now in more than a month, and there was no signs of it going forward if you had prevailing wage and the bucks in the budget. So by taking those sticking points out, they at least allow finance to finish its work.
Yep.
Allow the assembly to get on the floor next week and pass a budget, and then it becomes what happens in the Senate. And you could have a situation where the Senate takes up the budget, makes some changes to appease its members at 17, and then sends it back to the assembly for concurrence. I mean, this is not going to be a done deal like next week, maybe not even the week after. It might take a little while to get this to a final resolution, if you will.
And meanwhile, the backdrop, as we'll talk about in a little bit, this is the week before the Governor Walker announces for president, but
yes.
We'll get there eventually. So another reason to run the Bucks Arena separately is, as we alluded to, both those GOP leaders said we need the votes of Democrats to pass mm-hmm. the Bucks Arena, right?
Yeah.
Now you're talking about if you lose Carpenter and you only pick up Larson and Lena Taylor and Harris Dodd, how many Senate Democratic votes are needed to pass that Bucks
panel? Could any of the could you pick up a Carpenter type? I mean, he expressed concern about the deal yesterday. I don't know if there's any way to assert his concerns. Can you renegotiate the deal? That's the other thing. You talk to Republicans, like, this is the deal. End of story. They may be able to, like, a little bit of wiggle room on certain things, but
right.
You know, the ticket tax gets brought up once in a while, or ticket surcharge of, you know, help fund some of it. But they're talking, hey, we negotiated this. This is basically the framework you've got.
Right.
And Dems are saying, but we weren't at the table. We weren't asked our opinion. So how can we now vote for this?
So another reason to take the Bucks package out is to get some Democratic votes mm-hmm. because Speaker Voss said, I went to Democratic Leader Barca. I've talked about the need for Democratic votes for the Bucks Arena. Meanwhile, you take that out because no Democrat is going to vote for this 2015-2017 budget.
Absolutely not.
And no Democrat is going to vote for a prevailing wage. Now, you seem to be saying The most interesting vote that you're going to be tracking next week is on wage, right? Prevailing wage?
Well, once it gets to the Senate, which I don't know when it's going to get there, that's what I'm kind of watching is how does it interplay with the budget and how can they get it 17 votes? Because you talk to some conservative lawmakers in the Senate Republican caucus, the rural conservatives who are really backing for the wage. They will say, we've got momentum on our side for a repeal, we'll say magnitude. Talk to other members, they'll go, I don't know how we get to 17 on that. There's not support. Now, Fitzgerald has a leadership style, which is he's kind of forced to do, where he basically gives his caucus time to kind of vent, to kind of, you know, raise its concerns and get to a place where it's comfortable. And, you know, it's worked for him. It takes a while sometimes.
Yes, it does.
But it's worked for him the last couple of cycles. It's frustrating, I know, for the other side, but that's how Fitz has to operate with the caucus that he has to get them on to a place they're comfortable.
And I also thought it was healthy for the Senate Majority Leader to tell the world yesterday, I don't have 17 votes for this budget today. I mean, he didn't try to hose us and say, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can get it. He just, I don't.
Yeah, so, I didn't expect to either. It's a process.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So you have no Democratic votes for the prevailing wage, no Democratic votes for the budget, so you break those out.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you say to the governor on the Bucks, you got to pull some more weight here. Yes. I just find that very intriguing.
A little help. We could use a little help here.
We could use a little help here. And as you said, they're meeting with him today. Mm-hmm. Also this week, former Walker aide, both his county executive and the State Department of Administration, is filing a civil rights lawsuit against mm-hmm. the Milwaukee County DA, John Chisholm, as a result alleging civil rights violations of a police raid on her home in September 11. Now, the attorney for Cindy Archer, this is America, and in America, we don't let the authorities raid people's homes, treat them like criminals because of their political beliefs and associations. And Cindy Archer, her home was raided on the east side of Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters showed up very quickly. She has not been charged. So this is a fallout. Can you give the backdrop of John Doe?
Well, this is John Doe 1. This is the one that was looking at basically political work being done on county time in Governor Walker's, then County Executive Walker's office. It all began because there was some missing money in a veterans fund.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked, can you look at this? And you go back and look at the documents, and Walker said over and over again, we asked for this probe to start with.
The chief of staff.
Yes.
But Tom Nardelli, who since died.
But the prosecutors say, well, they asked for it. When we started asking for a few things, they were kind of hesitant. So the John Doe, they said, would make sense to kind of shield Governor Walker from any embarrassment, or County Exec Walker any embarrassment when he's running for governor. This would kind of keep it secret and move forward. Well, as it moved forward, it kind of grew and grew and grew, and then eventually focused on all this discussion of what was being done in County Executive Walker's office on
right.
county time.
Right.
Turns out a lot of political work was being done. Now, Archer was never charged. Six aides or associates, donors were that know Walker, but Archer was not. So we don't have a good answer yet. Why was her house raided? How'd that play in the investigation? And she's now suing, saying this was not right.
It's very, very intriguing. Well,
it's one of a series of lawsuits that's grown out of this. I mean, you had the Club for Growth sued in federal court. That got knocked back. Supreme Court wouldn't take up the case. So there was that. You got this one. There's got a case pending in Waukesha County Court right now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they have been fighting back because they feel like they were wronged
yes.
by this investigation, that it used tactics that were way over the top for any allegations that were made about what was going on.
And meanwhile, we should say that the state Supreme Court ended its term on Tuesday, June mm-hmm. 30th, without ruling on the John Doe cases pending before it. So that's going to I think these justices need a summer break to go to their separate corners, to retreat and feel better about each other. So I don't think that's coming out this summer, do you? I see it as something that's going to be addressed next term.
I've been focused on the budget.
I know. You also, though, you've been focused on the soon-to-be-announced presidential mm-hmm. campaign. And, it's so intriguing. I'm so glad that Wisconsin and I, we list now, there's 14 candidates. Welcome, Cliff Christie, welcome Bobby Jindal.
Mm-hmm.
So our governor, assuming John Kasich, Ohio governor, is in, could be the 16th.
Yes. So, I mean, his campaign has made clear July 13th is now the date he's going to announce.
Yeah.
I just put out an alert a while ago. It's going to be the Waukesha County Expo Center.
Waukesha County Expo.
Carries some significance for Governor Walker. That's where he was in 2012 on recall election night. Beat back the recall that, propelled him to the national spotlight, if you will, in mm-hmm. terms of politics. So it's going to be a very symbolic place for him to be making the announcement July 13th.
Okay. 14 candidates, he'll be 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Does that number help or hurt him?
Good question. You know, you look at these national polls, like there was one out this week from CNN and ORC.
Yeah. Well, CNN, let's talk about
he
that.
He dipped a little bit from last time.
Well, CNN, Bush 19, Trump? 12?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, okay.
Well, it seems like whenever somebody announces, they get a little bump in the poll. So right. Is Trump for real? Is it just like the bump out of his announcement will he recede again the next time he do it another month? I don't know.
Well, CNN, okay, Bush 19, Trump 12, Huckabee 8, Carson 7, Rand Paul 6, Rubio and Walker 6%?
And Walker had been a top five candidate in each of the last two polls, and now he receded back to there. You know, why? Who knows? It was national polls, and there's so many people now in part of the race. He still does well with conservative voters, which is going to help him in places like Iowa. But yeah, I mean, it's a crowded field right now, and at some point he's got to break through, which raises things like when he talked about supporting a constitutional amendment to allow states to define marriage. Is he making an appeal to those conservative voters who are his kind of key to victory, if you will?
Right. And meanwhile, there was a poll in Iowa. He slipped in Iowa.
Has he
had a bad 3-4 weeks?
It's just that, I mean, if you think about it, the field is getting bigger. At some point, you might have a Trump or somebody else pulling some points away from you. I think that was also the second straight time that Walker receded a little bit in Quinnipiac. He was at 25% in February, dipped a little bit into May, and now... So is it long-term? Is it a trend? I was always told, once is an aberration, twice coincidence, third's a trend. Yeah. So look for the third poll and see what's going on.
Are the people in the Walker campaign for president, are they worried about these? Are you picking up on that?
They seem like they feel like they have actually looking at this race long-term. And then it's not just about winning the overall, you know, vote. It's also, in the United States, about congressional seat by seat because the way delegates are allocated.
Yes.
They've made good contacts in their minds in a lot of these seats with local officials. Those local officials give you a fighting chance when it's that seat-by-seat fight for delegates. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've made a really good foundation. I mean, again, it is July 2nd of six months out from the Iowa caucus. There's still time for this thing to shake out and to solidify. But the foundation, they feel like, is in pretty good shape.
Was it Politico this week, or correct me if I'm wrong, who reported that Walker's going to go all out to win Iowa?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's been like kind of assumed for a while, though.
Okay.
I mean, it makes sense. It's right next door. He spent time there as a boy. You know, I mean, he's got a natural fit with those folks.
Yeah.
So if he can't win Iowa, he's going to be, I think that would be a bad thing for him. So he really needs to do well in Iowa.
Yeah, I think I misspoke when I said he was born in Plainfield, Iowa. He was born in Colorado and
yes.
Then moved to, let's end it this way. Prediction on the most cliffhanging vote we're going to see in either the Assembly or Senate next week. You want to go first or I'll go first?
I kind of put the prevailing wage and the... budget in the same boat a little bit because I think they're kind of intertwined. If you've got people like Dewey saying I need prevailing wage, and he said a thing yesterday, if it's not in the budget, it has to go first. So if prevailing wage goes first and it fails, what does that do? I mean, there's, I think, a really big link between those two right now. Now, it could shake out and play differently, but I just see those two as being a lot of interplay, if you will, in the dynamic there, those two votes.
Oh, I think... The Assembly passes the budget. The Assembly passes the Frank Lissay compromise on prevailing wage. It goes to the Senate. The Senate then takes up the Frank Lissay compromise on prevailing wage, passes it. Then Strobel says, I'm okay with a budget. So I don't agree with you. I think the most dramatic vote next week is going to be in the state Senate on the Bucks. Go dial back 20 years and the 5 a.m. vote on Miller Park. That's the one I want to be in the chamber for.
I don't expect much sleep next week or the week after. I'll put it that way.
I understand. But I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And that's Rewind for July 12th.
Second.
Second. Thanks. See, it's busy. Thank you.